It's Tuesday, September 22nd, 2012, and from Oroville, some news, a weather update, Bea and Luigi as they continue their dialogue around Oroville's town planning, words of the past woven amidst the current realities. Also just a bit of Ashman's Sunday concert, which can be heard later fully. Mostly cloudy this morning, a high today of 32 degrees Celsius, accompanied by westerly winds 15 to 24 kilometers per hour, and tonight overcast with thunderstorms, temperature dropping to 27, southwesterly winds up to 25 kilometers per hour, and 80% chance of rain. Now, hear Luigi and B.
In fact, our exploration, our reflection continues, addressing the question, how green is the Auroville Universal Township Master Plan? And we will enter into this evaluation, into this analysis, by looking at different subjects. We don't know how long it will take, if we can go through today or it will take a number of sessions, but the topics are the preface, where the aims and objectives of this perspective master plan, because it's a broad direction master plan, are highlighted. We will see what are those aims and objectives.
Good.
Then we will have also the urban and rural continuum aspect to avoid the separation between city development and rural development. Mm. Can we address this aspect and how? Mm. The third part will be the physical and social infrastructure. So how green the physical infrastructure, the broad direction are there, and how we intend to address in an innovative way the socioeconomic challenges of Auroville. Then it goes in specific aspect of sewerage and sanitation, how centralized it is, how decentralized, how balance between centralization and decentralization are there. We will not go in too much in technical details, but as a broad orientation, how to build an eco-city. And there, of course, we will touch the solid waste management, the energy, the energy supply, how to transfer, to mutate from the present conventional energy to a solar city, to a city which uses different sources of energy. Mm-hmm. And then we will touch in depth the complex reality of the social infrastructure of Auroville, which we have touched in along the conversation where we said the family of Auroville is so broad, from local villagers to visitors to friends of Auroville. We will enter into that complex alchemy. And one of the last points will be the chapter where the reviewing of the master plan is made possible in the last pages. So the need of a 5-year development plan, of a yearly plan, but also the reviewing of the master plan after an experience, it is also possible. So this will be the main items which we plan to touch, Marlenka.
And we will touch most likely briefly on a few of them today, but all of these items will be spoken about in the future sessions. Where do you want to start this moment?
If you allow, I would like to start here in this very short chapter, which it is a preface, but a preface who gives the main direction.
The master plan provides a policy framework which will serve as a guide in the preparation of 5-year development plans and annual plans for implementation of the proposals. Part 1 describes the existing scenario and lays down the imperatives for development. Part 2 lays down principles and directions for long-term growth and gives development proposals to make Oroville the most eco-friendly city. It lays down broad policies in terms of land utilization, residential densities, and qualitative and quantitative aspects of infrastructure development. And Part 3 gives the development promotion regulations and the procedure to be adopted for development. So with that as a preface.
I think fantastic. If this master plan has the purpose and the intent to make the most eco-friendly city, I think we have something there that everyone should agree with. I don't see where we can go wrong with that.
A few excerpts from the 24th meeting of Oroville's International Advisory Council held September 7th through 9th. Oroville faces two dramatic challenges: the low growth of population and a skew towards older, more affluent applicants. Oroville must grow. How can that happen? If Oroville is to be a magnet manifesting the ideals of Sri Aurobindo and Mother in the 21st century, there's an urgent need to attract spiritually minded individuals from all parts of the world. More universality is needed. Oroville still lacks substantial participation from South America, Africa, the Middle and Far East. And housing is obviously a critical need. To attract young people, less expensive housing is needed. This advisory council supports low-cost housing for students, volunteers, and newcomers in agreement with the suggestion that Government of India funds be used specifically for this type of building. And as for education, in Oroville, it should be closely linked with the ultimate goal of personal and collective transformation. Oroville is also a model of experiential learning. It can be a beacon. The example of Living Roots in bringing an experience-based curriculum for college credit at the University of Washington, the University of Massachusetts, and the American University of Paris shows how a successful program can benefit both students and Oroville. And as for governance, Oroville has been making progress and experimenting with innovative solutions in accordance with the principles of the Charter and the Mother's ideals. The importance of effective governance means making and enforcing decisions, having checks and balances, and an appeals process to correct poorly constructed or unjust solutions. You've been listening to Oroville Radio with Marlenka on microphone. In studio today, Andrea, Andy, and Miriam. Please direct your comments and queries to oroville radio.org, and thanks for listening.